Bismillah, wassalat, wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala ali wa man wala wa ba'd. Tonight this is going to be our sixth session, and we'll be reading from chapter 6 from Da'awat al-Mu'minina al-Madhkuratu fil Qur'an, the supplications of the believers which are mentioned in the Qur'an by the noble Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, as I mentioned, we'll be reading from chapter 6. And as you, if you have been with us, you know that some of the chapters actually have more than one supplication. And sometimes there's a series of supplications that came together, and the Shaykh has numbered them as one. He has numbered them as one. Last week, actually, there were three different topics that the Shaykh dealt with, three different supplications. Those were 5, 6, and 7. So tonight, and it's going to be the 8th supplication, as the Shaykh has listed them, and it's chapter 6, and we're going to be reading from the Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, 190th to 194th or 195th ayah. By the way, if anybody didn't get a copy of the book, you can take one. There's English, and there's also just a couple of Arabic copies. If somebody needs Arabic, there is an Arabic copy here that somebody can look at, if they want to follow in Arabic. So, before we begin with our topic for tonight, we want to look back at some of the topics that we discussed last week in the previous session from the questionnaire, study guide for lecture number 5. The first question being, memorize the supplication of al-muttaqeen, the people of taqwa described by Allah in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 16th Ayat. What was the supplication of the muttaqeen that Allah mentions in Surah Ali Imran, 16th ayah? Naam, fadda adu.
Rabbana innana amanna faghfir lana dhunubana wa qina adhaban
nar. Naam. Yani they said, Rabbana, O our Rabb, innana amanna. Indeed, we have believed, faghfir lana dhunubana, so forgive us our sins, wa qina adhabana, and save us from the punishment of the fire. And we discussed this supplication last week in some detail. I'll just note here that many of these supplications begin with the name of Allah, Ar-Rabb, Rabbana, and many of them also mention Iman and seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this shows the importance of these affairs. Second question, the author says, Al-Muttaqeen, the people of taqwa, are saying to Allah, فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا, forgive us our sins. Yani their request for forgiveness of sins is based on what? Forgive us our sins due to what? Due to what? Naam, Abdul Wali.
Based on their iman in Allah and that which is better stated.
Based on their iman in Allah and their iman in what Allah has legislated, the laws, the legislations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based upon that, yani their iman and their iman in Allah and their iman in what Allah has legislated, they're saying then, based on that, yani that being yani a means of nearness to Allah due to which they are requesting, what they're requesting of forgiveness of their sins and their shortcomings by the favor of Allah and His mercy. The third question, the author says that in this ayat, the same ayat above, 3rd surah, 16th ayat, in this ayat is a dalil, an evidence that it is legislated or that it is lawful to do what? In evidence that it is legislated to do what? Naam.
To seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through your belief and your action.
To seek nearness to Allah. Yani this is, in this ayat is an evidence of that it is legislated in Islam at tawassul. Yani seeking nearness to Allah based upon iman and righteous deeds. And the Shaykh also said that this seeking nearness to Allah, at tawassul ila Allah, bil iman wal amal as-salih, that this is a wasila azima, a great magnificent means of nearness to Allah, to have one's dua accepted. Yani seeking nearness to Allah by iman and righteous deeds is a great means of seeking nearness to Allah so that one's dua can be accepted. Question number 4, mention or memorize the supplication of al-hawariyun, the disciples of Isa alayhi salam, mentioned by Allah in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 53rd Ayat. What was the supplication of the Hawariyun?
Rabbana
نعم تفضل.
ربنا آمنا بما أنزلت واتبعنا الرسول
فاكتبنا
فاكتبنا مع
الشاهدين. نعم نعم. يعني they said, O Arab, آمنا بما أنزلت. We believed in what you have sent down, what you have revealed, the revelation. واتبعنا الرسول, and we have followed the messenger, meaning Isa عليه السلام. Therefore, write us down amongst the witnesses. فاكتبنا ما شاهدين. The fifth question, why did Al-Hawariyun mention their iman in the revelation that was sent down and their following of the Rasul before their request? Why did they mention this before their supplication? What was the point of mentioning? Now, their iman and their following? Yeah, fadl.
As a means of tawassul to their Rabb and to get a response to what they are requesting and to achieve what they are hoping for.
Naam, as a means of nearness to Allah, they are mentioning the fact that they have believed in the revelation that Allah sent down and that they have followed the messenger that He sent to them. And as a result of that, they are saying, therefore, yani, write us down amongst the witnesses. Yani, this was a means of what? Seeking to have their supplication answered, to achieve, yani, the hope that they had from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 6, mention 4 matters with which the author describes ash-shahideen. Yani, the 4 matters with which the author describes those who bear witness in this ayat, in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 53rd ayat. He describes them with 4 descriptions. Naam, anybody remember? Naam, fadl.
They bear witness to the truth.
Okay, the first one is that they shahidu bilhaq. They bore witness to the truth. The second one? Hold it. No, you go ahead. Yeah, I'm asking them to hold on for you. They confirmed Allah's right. They confirmed Allah's right to tawheed, to be worshipped exclusively, that He alone should be worshipped. The third one. Saddaqo, naam. They testified, confirmed to the truthfulness of the messengers that Allah sent. And the last one? That they followed. They adhered to, they complied with Allah's command and Allah's prohibition. In these 4 matters, it brings some clarification to us about the vast, yani, the completeness, the total, yani, the thing that is required of us is not just one aspect of iman, but each aspect of iman, testifying to the truth, yani, believing it in our hearts, confirming it on our tongue, and yani, manifested in actions, yani, complying with Allah's commands and actions. It's not sufficient that a person just claims that they have belief in their heart. The 7th question, Allah is making known to His creation the path of those whom He is pleased with their speech and He is pleased with their actions. As Al-Imam At-Tabari said, Allah is making known the path of these people whom He is pleased with their speech and their actions so that others may do what? Why is Allah making this path clear? Yani, the path of those that He is pleased with their speech and He is pleased with the action. Why is Allah making this path known? Naam, who's over there laying down on the floor, raising your hand? Right, from the adab of the Majlis al-Ilm is that you should sit up, unless you, yani, just can't sit up. Naam. Fadl.
So, you mentioned that, so those people will follow in the footsteps of the people that...
Okay, that's part of it. Yani, so that they will follow that path of those people that Allah is pleased with, and so that they would adhere to their method of implementing the deen, their methodology, their manhaj. And the purpose of that is what? The Shaykh said, following those people for what reason? Naam.
So that they may reach the rajat, high levels of ah, to follow their manhaj and to reach high levels of ah.
So that they will reach the same that these people reach. Yani, the high levels of honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred upon these people. A person follows their path and adheres to their methodology so that they will achieve the same that these people, who Allah is pleased with, have achieved. Question number 8. What are the requests of those believers from amongst the followers of the earlier prophets in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 147th Ayat? What is it that they were requesting? Yani, as the Shaykh mentions, that these were people who were followers, who were believers, following from the earlier prophets. Anybody remember what they were asking for? Forgiveness. It was asking for forgiveness of our sins. Rabbana اغفر لنا ذنوبنا. What else? وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّقْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْخَافِرِينَ. Yani, they are asking Allah to forgive their sins and those yani commissions where they went beyond the bounds to the extremes. Yani, those which are considered major or greater sins. And they ask Allah to make their feet firm and to grant them victory over the enemies, over the disbelieving people. The last question, what two categories of sins are referred to in this ayat, in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 147th ayat, where they said, يعني ربنا, ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا. What are the two يعني categories of sins that are indicated يعني according to يعني Al-Imam Al-Tabari, what he said when he explained this ayat? He said that they are asking for what? What two types or categories of sins are they talking about here? The lesser sins, sagair, and the greater sins, the kabair. Yani, Al-Imam al-Tabari said this means that they're asking for those sins which are considered to be sagair. And they are also asking for forgiveness of those sins that are kabair, major and the greater and the lesser sins. Now, so these are some of the topics that we covered last week. And tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, again, we're going to be looking at chapter 6. And the page that we are on in the English translation is 34, and in Arabic it's on page 878. Yes, absolutely. Yes, so just in case we forget in the end, the next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, is going to be after the start of Ramadan. And in the next session, the next time we have class, is going to be after the start of Ramadan. So the time is not going to be this time, obviously, after Isha, but the time that we're going to be holding the class is before Maghrib, yani at 6 o'clock, 1 hour or so before Maghrib. And that's how it's going to be in the month of Ramadan. The class will be before Maghrib. And then we'll have, something to break the fast with, dates and water or whatever, and then yani people can return to their homes or to their local masjids, wherever they came from. But the class will be before Maghrib at 6 o'clock. From 6 o'clock until Maghrib. Jazakallah khair. Okay, so the title of this chapter, Min Da'awat Al-Mu'minina, yani something from among the supplications of the believers. And this here is referring to the Ulul Albab, the people who have understanding, yani the people of understanding, who Allah has blessed with good understanding in the deen. The Shaykh begins by saying, Min Da'awat Ahl Al-Iman Al-Azimah Ma Dhakarahu Allah Azza wa Jalla An ulil albab min ibadihi. And either from amongst the supplications, the great magnificent supplications of the people of Iman. And the Shaykh's description here of these supplications is any important for us to pay attention to. These are not just words that he's using, but he's making us to understand that these are magnificent, important, great supplications of who? Of the people of Iman. Allah has confirmed their Iman, and Allah has selected their supplications from amongst the millions and billions and trillions of supplications of the people of Iman from the beginning of time. Allah selected these supplications to place them in the Quran so that the believers who came after these people would know what they have called upon Him with, will reflect upon it, learn it, memorize it, understand it, and call upon Allah with these same supplications that Allah was pleased with, to the extent that He placed them in the Quran for the whole of humanity to see until Yawmul Qiyamah. Shaykh says, from the magnificent supplications of the people of Iman is that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned concerning the Ulul Albab, the people of great understanding from amongst His worshippers, min ibadihi. وَذَلِكَ فِي قَوْلِهِ سُبْحَانُهُ إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. That indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, yani everything in the universe, the heavens and the earth. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of night and day. Yani the alternation of night and day. That in these things there are signs for the ulul albab, the people who have understanding, whose intellect is capable of comprehending, reflecting upon, pondering over, and considering yani these things that Allah has created in the universe. Then Allah describes these people, the ulul albab. He says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. The first description he gives of them is they are those who remember Allah standing and sitting and lying on their sides. Yani remember Allah all the time, in every situation or circumstance, in all conditions. The second description he gives of them, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they reflect, they contemplate, they ponder over the creation of the heavens and the earth. These are two descriptions that Allah mentions about the ulul albab, that they are those who remember Allah standing and sitting and lying on their sides, and that they reflect and ponder over, they look at carefully. They contemplate the creation, the things in the creation of the heavens and the earth. This ayah goes on to say that these people who Allah just described with these two characteristics, he said, they say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقَتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. In this part of the ayah is the first request of these people. They said, O our Rabb, you have not created all of this, yani in the heavens and the earth, بَاطِلًا, yani without a purpose, without an objective. Subhanaka. Here they declare the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that He is above and beyond, yani having created anything without a purpose or an objective. Subhanaka. And then they request, فَقِنَا عَذَابِنَا. Save us, therefore, save us from the punishment of the fire. In the next ayah, they go on to call upon Allah, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخَزَيْتَهُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. They said, O our Rabb, indeed, whoever you have caused to be admitted into the hellfire, then indeed you have disgraced him. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. And the ظالمين, yani the wrongdoers, yani the people of shirk and yani kufr, these people, they will have no helpers. No one will be able to help them from the punishment that Allah has given to them justly. Then in the next ayah they go on to, yani call upon Allah again, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. They said, O our Rabb, indeed we have heard a caller calling, inviting people to Iman. Inviting people to Iman. And then they define that Iman by saying, an aminu bi rabbikum, that you have Iman in your Rabb. Fa'amanna. Therefore, we responded and we believed. We accepted that invitation and that call. The ayah goes on to make the second request, رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. O our Rabb, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins and expiate for us our bad deeds and raise us up amongst the abrar, the righteous. Finally, in the last ayat that the Shaykh mentions here, from these ayat, again they call upon Allah with the third request, رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَىٰ رُسُولِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيَادِ. O our Rabb, give us or grant us that which you have promised us through your messengers, and do not disgrace us on the day of resurrection. Indeed, you do not break your promise. These ayats, in this series of ayats, are part of, as we'll see in the end of this discussion, part of a series of ayats. There are actually 11 ayats from Surah Ali Imran, starting from ayat 190 to 200. That are mentioned in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Shaykh mentions in the end, that is from the sunnah, that when a person wakes up in the night, that they recite these ayat. It is from the sunnah, in the hadith of Abdul ibn Abbas, that the Shaykh mentions at the end. In any case, here the Shaykh mentions those ayat, 190 to 194, in which there is contained a series of requests from the ulul albab. The Shaykh says, فهذه الآيات وصف من الله تعالى لأولي الألباب من عباده وهم ذو العقول التامة الذكية التي تدرك الأشياء بحقائقها على جليتها. يعني that these, يعني that this is a description from Allah the Most High describing the men of understanding, the people of understanding from amongst His worshippers. Yani these are a group of people from amongst the ibad of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has singled out and described them as ulul albab. Yani with a special description that these people have a they are distinct from the other worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of their intellectual ability, yani to comprehend and to perceive. The Shaykh, he says, they are those who possess al-uqul at-tama al-dhakiyya. Yani they have intellect, they have a mind, yani an ability to comprehend things, yani a mind that is complete, and a mind, and they have intelligence. Yani they are very, very smart, such that they are able to comprehend things as they are in reality, with complete clarity. They comprehend, they see things, they comprehend them as they are, in reality, with clarity. وَلَيْسُ كَالسُّمْ وَالْبُقْمْ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. They are not like those who are deaf and who are dumb. Those who do not comprehend, do not understand. Those who Allah said concerning them in another place in the Quran, in Surah Yusuf, 105th ayat and 106th ayat, Allah described the other people that He is, yani, criticizing here. He says about them, وَكَأَيِّن مِّنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Allah is saying that there are other people, not like the ulul albab. He says that how many a sign in the heavens or in the earth that they pass by and they turn away from it. They don't pay attention to it. They don't give yani any concern. They are heedless of it. And he says concerning these people that most of them do not believe in Allah except that they are mushrikun. Yani, most of these people do not believe in Allah except that they also make shirk with Allah. Yani, they commit shirk. And then, yani, so here the Shaykh is contrasting the ulul albab with the people who are heedless, who are unmindful, who are not paying attention to what is happening in the world around them. They are not reflecting, contemplating upon the signs of Allah in the heavens and in the earth. Yani the magnificent signs of Allah, of the things that Allah has created in this universe. He says, وَلِهَذَا خَصَّ سُبْحَانُهُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ بِالتَّفَكُّرُ فِي الْآيَاتِ الْبَاهِرَاتِ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Yani Allah has singled out these people, the أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ, yani with the distinction of being those who reflect, who contemplate, who ponder over what they see and what they experience in the creation, in Allah's creation. They look at it and they examine it, and due to that, they are able to see the greatness and magnificence and the power and the knowledge and the wisdom and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation. Because of what? Because they are paying attention. They are looking at the beauty of Allah's creation. He says Allah has singled these people out بِالتَّفَكُّرْ, yani with contemplation, reflecting, pondering over the magnificent, brilliant signs in the creation of the heavens and the earth. That is, he said, this one, yani wahad, yani the signs in the creation of the heavens and earth, he said, yani this is from the Tafsir Ibn Kathir. The Shaykh is quoting here from the Tafsir Ibn Kathir concerning this ayah. And Ibn Kathir, al-Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, said, أي هذه في ارتفاعها واتساعها وهذه في انخفاضها وكثافتها واتضاعها. Yani he's saying that this one, yani the heavens, it is distinguished by what? Yani its elevation, its highness and its vastness. And the earth, it is distinguished by its lowness and its density, or lowliness and simplicity. Yani in comparison, yani the different descriptions of the things that Allah created in the heavens and in the earth. And likewise, he said, they are also looking at, pondering over, reflecting upon that which is contained in these two, yani in the heavens and the earth. مَا فِيهِمَا مِنَ الْعَجَائِبِ الْمُشَاهِدَةِ الْمُشَاهَدَةِ وَالدَّلَائِلِ الْوَاضِحَةِ عَلَىٰ عَظَمَةِ الْخَالِقِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَجَلَالِهِ وَكَمَالِهِ. Yani they are also looking at the amazing things that are witnessed in the heavens and the earth, and those things which are clear signs, clear indications of the greatness of the Creator and His majesty and His perfection. Yani whoever was to look at what Allah has created, whether it's the planets or the stars or the things on the earth, the trees, the mountains, the rivers, the animals, the insects, the human being himself. If a person reflected on the human being, yani, and thought and pondered over this, it would become clear. Yani, they would see that these things are indications of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His majesty and His perfection. The Shaykh says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَا فِي الْإِخْتِلَافِ مَا فِي إِخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. Also they reflected upon the alternation of the night and the day. Shaykh says, meaning, تَعَاقُبِهِمَا وَتَقَارُدِهِمَا الطول والقصر من آية عظيمة على كمال المبدع وعظيم اقتداره. That also they are reflecting and pondering over the alternation of the night and the day, and how the night and the day follow one another in succession. Yani the night comes after the day, and the day follows the night, and they follow one another in succession, and also how they exchange the shortness and the length of the day and the night. That at some point the day is longer than the night. And then it may change that the night becomes longer than the day. And sometimes they are equal in length, the day and the night. And all of this, yani, is an indication and a sign of the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His perfect knowledge and His wisdom in His creation of these affairs, which are signs of the perfection of the originator who created these things and the greatness of His power. Here the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has singled out the ulul albab لِأَنَّهُمْ هُمَ الْمُنْتَفِعُونَ بِهَذِي الْآيَاتِ, because they are the ones who benefit from these signs. النَّاظِرُونَ إِلَيْهَا بِأُقُولِهِمْ لَا بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ فَحَسْبُ. And these are the people who are looking at the creation, looking at the things that are in the creation with their minds and their intellects, and not just looking at it with their eyesight. Yani some people are looking at the things in the creation, but they don't reflect upon it, and therefore they don't comprehend, and they don't see the indications of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created all of this. It is for this reason, yani because of their reflection, because of their pondering over and contemplation of the signs, the ayat of Allah and His creation, for this reason the Shaykh says, وَلِهَذَا فَهُمْ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. And it is for this reason that they remember Allah. Yani when they reflect upon Allah's creation, it causes them to have a relationship with Allah such that they remember Him in every situation or circumstance. They remember Him when they are standing, they remember Him when they are sitting, they remember Him when they are lying on their sides. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, the Shaykh didn't mention this part of the tafsir, but he mentions here the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the Prophet ﷺ commanded one of his companions, yani, to pray standing. But if you're not able, then pray sitting. If you're not able, then pray lying on your side. And Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, mentions this hadith, yani, in reference to what? That part of the remembrance of Allah is the person's remembrance of Allah in salat. And that they remember Allah standing or sitting or lying on their sides. And this remembrance of Allah, yani, is not just on the tongue, but it is also remembrance of the heart. Yani, the asl of the dhikr of Allah is that which is in the heart. But from the sunnah of our Prophet ﷺ, we know that it is also expressed upon the tongue. And it has other forms that we have discussed in the past. But the point is that these people, from their characteristics, is that they remember Allah all the time, in every situation or circumstance. The Shaykh says the meaning of this description, yani that يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, he says, لَا يَقْطَعُونَ ذِكْرَهُ فِي جَمِيعِ أَهْوَالِهِمْ بِسَرَائِرِهِمْ وَضَمَائِرِهِمْ وَأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Yani that they never discontinue the remembrance of Allah. Yani they remember Allah fi jami' ahwalihim. Whatever their situation or circumstance or condition is, they are constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. Yani in their inner selves, that is their hearts, and in their internal thoughts, in their minds, and upon their tongues, they are constantly remembering Allah. Then the Shaykh mentions brief discussion concerning the second description of Ulul Albab, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, and they reflect upon the creation of the heavens and the earth He says, meaning يَفْحَمُونَ مَا فِيهِمَا مِنَ الْحِكْمِ الدَّالَةِ عَلَىٰ عَظَمَةِ الْخَالِقِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ وَعِلْمِهِ وَحِكْمَتِهِ وَاخْتِيَارِهِ وَرَحْمَتِهِ. Yani that these people, they comprehend, they recognize, they understand what is contained in the heavens and the earth of hikm, yani the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way He has created things and made them to function, that it is not haphazard, but it is based upon wisdom. It is, everything has a purpose, an objective, and a path. And these people, they recognize that, they understand that. And they recognize that these things, the hikm that's in the creation of the heavens and earth, is an indication of the greatness of the Creator who created them, and an indication of His power, and of His knowledge, and of His wisdom, and His choice, and the way He chooses what He chooses, and His rahmah. These are indications of these yani tremendous qualities and characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recognizing them, the Shaykh says, therefore they are saying, when looking at these things, they are saying, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. O our Rabb, indeed you have not created all of this, yani, بَاطِلًا, without a purpose, without an objective. It's all based upon wisdom. The Shaykh says that the meaning here is, you have not brought this creation into existence عَبَثًا, in vain. عَارِيًا عَنِ الْحِكْمَةِ, yani free of any purpose, or absent of any purpose. خَالِيًا مِنَ الْمَصْلَحَةِ, yani Allah has not created what He created in the creation yani in vain. He didn't create it without some purpose, and He didn't create it without benefit. Everything that He has created has a purpose. There's an objective, and there's a benefit for the rest of the creation. The Shaykh says, rather, you have created all of these things مُنْتَظِمًا لِحِكَمْ جَلِيلًا وَمَصَالِ عَظِيمًا للقيام بعبوديتك والخضوع لحكمك ولتجري الذين أساءوا بما عملوا وتجزي الذين أساءوا بما عملوا وتجزي الذين أحسنوا بالحسنى. And the Shaykh is saying here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything in an organized fashion, bringing together, tying together clear, obvious, yani, hikam, wisdom, yani, that these things have some purpose. And, yani, masali azima, and great, tremendous benefits. And the purpose of this is so that people will fulfill, yani, to assure the fulfillment of Allah's right, yani, His ubudiyah, His right to be worshipped alone. And that people will submit to His judgment, to His decrees. And so that the people who do evil will be recompensed for their evil. And the people who do good will be rewarded with that which is best. The Shaykh says here, yani, after they said this, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا, they said, سُبْحَانَكَ. Here he says, yani, that these people that Allah is discussing in these ayat, He says, ثُمَّ نَزَّهُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى فَقَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ أَيْ تَنْزِيحًا لَكَ وَتَعَظِيمًا لَكَ مِنْ أَنْ تَفْعَلَ شَيْئًا عَبَثًا أَوْ تَخْلُقَ شَيْئًا بَاطِلًا بَلْ كُلُّ مَا فَعَلْتَهُ أَوْ خَلَقْتَهُ فَبِالْحَقِّ وَلِلْحَقِّ وَمُشْتَمِلٌ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. Yani, here the Shaykh is saying that these people are declaring Allah to be free of whatever has been falsely attributed to Him, to declare Allah to be free of any kind of imperfection or any kind of shortcoming, yani declaring Allah's perfection. They said, Subhanaka, meaning, تَنْزِيحًا لَكَ وَتَعَظِيمًا لَكَ, yani that the proof of the one who examines the creation of Allah, they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created what He created, yani without a purpose, but rather, here, yani the meaning of Subhanaka is to declare Allah to be free from, yani such, to declare Allah to be exalted and above, doing anything in vain, or creating anything without a purpose. Rather, everything that you have done, and everything that you have created, it is created, yani, بِالْحَقِّ وَلِلْحَقِّ وَمُشْتَمِلٌ عَلَى الْحَقِّ. It is created with truth, and it is created for truth, and it is created, يعني, comprised of truth. Then the first request came in this ayat, the 191st ayat, the second ayat from this series. The Shaykh says, ثُمَّ فَزِعُوا إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ بِالدُّعَاءِ قَائِلِينَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Yani they flee in fear to their Rabb, supplicating to him, saying, save us from the punishment of the fire. And again, the Shaykh here, he doesn't mention it, but he's quoting from the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. This is how Ibn Kathir explains these words. He says, يَا مَنْ خَلَقَ الْخَلْقِ بِالْحَقِّ وَالْعَدْلِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. O the one who created the creation with truth and justice and wisdom. يَا مَنْ هُوَ مُنَزَّهٌ عَنَ الْعَبَثِ وَالْعَيْبِ وَالنَّقَائِسِ. O the one who is declared to be free from any vain or futile actions and defects and shortcomings. أَجِّرْنَا مِنْ عَذَابِ النَّارِ بِحَوْلِكَ وَقُوَّتِكَ وَرَحْمَتِكَ. Save us from the punishment of the fire by your power and by your strength and by your mercy. And Ibn Kathir actually mentions, yani some here, and Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di also mentions in the tafsir of this ayah some other points, yani that the Shaykh doesn't mention here, and for the benefit of it, just yani alluding to it, any part of the meaning here of faqina azab an-nar, save us from the punishment of the fire, yani these people are asking Allah to save them from the punishment of the fire by what? By directing them to doing good deeds and directing them against doing evil deeds. And as such, yani this would be the means through which they will be saved from the fire. And also it is mentioned in some of the tafsirs that being saved from the fire means that a person will enter the paradise. So this is a supplication that yani its mantuq is that a person is asking to be saved from the fire, but what is mafhum from it is that a person is asking for al-jannah. Because whoever is saved from the hellfire will be admitted into al-jannah. The Shaykh goes on to say, yani he goes to the next ayat, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخَزَيْتَ. He says, then they followed up the previous statement and request with that which indicates, yani بِمَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى شِدَّةِ ذَلِكَ الْعَذَابِ. And here they mention that which indicates the severity of that punishment in the hellfire. They said, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ. Indeed, O our Rabb, whoever you cause to enter the fire, you have disgraced him. Meaning, you have humiliated him. And you have exposed his shame and his disgrace. And they're saying, وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ is تَذْلِيلِ لِإِظْهَارِ نِهَايَةِ فَضَاعَةِ حَالِ مَنْ دَخَلَ النَّارِ وَأَنَّهُ إِنَّمَا دَخَلَهَا لِظُلْمِهِ وَأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرُهُ وَيَدْفَعُ عَنْهُ عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Yani the meaning of this saying, وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ, he said that this is yani something that's added at the end of the statement. Yani the original statement is what? O our Rabb, whoever you have caused to enter the fire, you have humiliated him, you have disgraced him. And he added to that, or they added to that, something that yani is extra to emphasize yani the severity, to emphasize the extent of the severity of the despicable condition of the one who is caused to enter the hellfire. They added to that this saying, وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. Yani, and the ظَالِمِينَ, they will not have any helpers. This, and in this is an indication of the, in the meaning, وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing him as ظَالِمِينَ is an indication that the reason why they are, yani being punished in the fire is because of their ظُلْم. Is because of their ظُلْم, their wrongdoing, or their kufr and shirk. And also he said, and that they will not have anyone who can help them, or anyone who can repulse or remove from them the punishment of the fire. In the next ayah, 193, the Shaykh says, and here in this ayah comes the second request. The Shaykh says, they're saying, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيَ يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. O our Rabb, indeed, we have heard a caller calling to Iman. Yani that you believe in your Rabb. So as a result of that, yani we have believed. Yani we responded and we believed. رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْنَا ذُنُوبِنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. This is the second request where they said, O our Rabb, forgive us our sins and expiate from us our bad deeds and take our souls. Yani cause us to die amongst the righteous. Sheikh says, هذا حكاية من الله تعالى لدعاء آخر لهم صدر أيضا بنداء الرب. Yani this is also something that's mentioned from Allah the Most High. It is another dua for them that also begins with their call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his name Ar-Rabb. And this is to yani to make to openly display the perfection of their dara'a, yani their dire need and their ragbah, their longing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani they're calling on Allah by his name Ar-Rabb. And the Shaykh says, they're saying, إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ, that we have heard a caller calling to Iman. The meaning of this is that we have heard a da'iyan, yani a person who is calling or inviting to have Iman. Most of the scholars of tafsir, أكثر المفسرين على أن المراد بالمنادي هنا الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most of the scholars of tafsir say what is intended by the munadi who is calling to Iman, that it is the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقال بعدهم المنادي هنا هو كتاب الله تعالى. But some of the scholars of tafsir say what is intended here is the book of Allah, the Most High. And the Shaykh says, القولاني صحيحاني لأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم دعا الناس بكتاب الله تعالى. Yani that both of these views, both of them are correct. Because the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he is the one who's calling the people, but he's calling the people by the book of Allah. He's calling the people through the book of Allah, the Quran. The Shaykh, he goes on to explain this very same ayat 193. He says, they're saying, an aminu bi rabbikum. Yani they said, sami'na munadiyan yunadi lil iman, an aminu bi rabbikum. That we heard a caller calling to iman, that calling people to believe in your Rabb. This statement, an aminu bi rabbikum, is the tafsir, the explanation of the iman that he is calling to, that the caller is calling to. What iman is he calling to? Iman in your Rabb. Huwa iman billahi ta'ala wa bi rububiyyatihi wa uluhiyyatihi wa asma'i wa sifati. Yani it is the call to have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have iman in his rububiyya, that he is the only Rabb, the creator, the owner, the one who controls everything in the creation. And his uluhiyya, yani his divinity, that he alone deserves to be worshipped. And his asma' and sifat, that all of the beautiful names and the divine characteristics and qualities are exclusively for Allah alone. And they're saying, فَآمَنَّا, yani they said, so we believed, it means that we have complied with his command, the command of the caller, the messenger. And we have answered his call. And we have hastened to follow him. And finally in this ayah, the Shaykh says, and this is the second request, the Shaykh says, they're saying, رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. O Arab, forgive us our sins and expiate for us our evil deeds and raise us up amongst the righteous. He said, this is tawassul. It is tawassulun minhum إِلَى اللَّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى بِإِمَانِهِمْ بِهِ. Yani that this is a means of seeking nearness to Allah. It is a means of seeking nearness to Allah the Most High based upon their iman in him. Yani we have believed, so based upon that, forgive us our sins and expiate our evil deeds and take our souls, raise us amongst the righteous. Yani based upon their iman in him, they're asking him to forgive them their sins and to expiate their evil deeds and to take their souls. When he takes their souls, take their souls amongst the Abara, the righteous people who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have been yani dutiful to Allah by obedience to Him and by complying with His command until He became yani, until they pleased Him yani, by their obedience to Him, they pleased Him, so He became pleased with them. The 194th ayat, which is the last ayat that the Shaykh mentioned in the beginning of this chapter, it is the third request. They're saying, رَبَّنَا وَآتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَىٰ رُسُلِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيَادِ. O our Rabb, and give us that which you have promised us through your messengers. And do not disgrace us on the day of standing, the day of Qiyamah, the day of resurrection. Indeed, you never break your promise. The Shaykh says, هَذَا دُعَاءٌ آخَرٌ. This is another supplication. وَفِيهِ تَكْرَارٌ لِلنِّدَاءِ بِرَبَّنَا. Yani, it contains the repetition of their call to Allah with the words, with the word رَبَّنَا, O our Rabb. This is a repetition. Yani, for the fifth time it came in these series of ayat. رَبَّنَا, O our Rabb. And this is an indication of their humility and their ilha, their persistence. And we mentioned in the previous book that we were studying, the dua that is not rejected, that from the things, from the sunnah, yani, that a person should do in order to have an assurance that their dua will be accepted, is ilha, that a person is persistent in asking Allah in a respectful manner and not asking Allah for something once or twice or three times and giving up, but rather to be persistent. Allah wants us to ask and to continue to ask. And here the Shaykh is saying that this is an indication of them calling on Allah, Ya Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana. It's an indication of their humility and an indication of their persistence. Asking Allah to fulfill for them what He has promised them on the tongue or on the tongues of His messengers, alayhi wasalam, yani min al-nasr wa-dhuhur fi dunya, that they have help, and Allah make them to be uppermost in this world, wa min al-fawz bi ridwanillahi wa jannatihi fil akhirah, and that they be successful in attaining the pleasure of Allah and His jannah in the next life. Yani that they are asking Allah, yani for help and support and victory in this world, and asking also that He grant them success in earning His pleasure and His jannah in the next life. وَالنَّجَاتِ مِنْ خِزْيِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, and that they be saved from disgrace or humiliation on the day of resurrection. And they are doing so, asking these things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, مُتَوَسِّلِينَ إِلَيْهِ سُبْحَانَهُ بِأَنَّهُ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. Yani they, as a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are yani acknowledging that Allah, He is the one who never breaks His promise. Here the Shaykh, near the end, he comes here to the 195th ayat, which he didn't mention in the beginning of the chapter, but it's the ayat that comes after all of those series of supplications. The Shaykh says, ثُمَّ أَعْقَبَ سُبْحَانُهُ مَا هَكَاهُ مِنْ دَعْوَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ ذَوِ الْأَلْبَابِ يعني أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ ببيان استجابته لهم فيما دعوه وسألوه. يعني here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala follows up these supplications. Allah is following up the mention of the supplications of the believers, the people of understanding, with the clarification of His response to them concerning that which they supplicated to Him about and that they asked Him for. And Allah the Most High says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا عُدِيُّ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى بَعْدُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدٍ. Allah says, يعني, their Rabb, He responded to them, saying, indeed, I will not cause to be lost the work of any worker from amongst you, whether that person be male or female. بَعْدُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدٍ, you are one from another, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the people who worship Him, whether they are male or female, equally. He responds to them. It doesn't matter that it be male or female. The Shaykh here, yani in closing, he mentions the statement of Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he said, Hasan al-Basri said, مَا زَالُوا يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا رَبَّنَا حَتَّى اسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ. Yani they continued calling on Allah, saying, O our Rabb, until Allah answered them, until He responded to them. Then the Shaykh closes by mentioning the importance of these ayats and a hadith that is related to them. He says, وَلِهَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ الَّتِي وَصَفَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِيهَا دُعَاءُ الْأَلْبَابِ وَتَضَرُّعَهُمْ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ شَأْنٌ عَظِيمٌ. Yani that these ayat, which Allah describes in them, the supplications of the Ulul Albab and their humility in front of their Rabb, he said these ayat, they have a great importance. يَنْبَغِي لِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنْ تِلَاوَتُهَا وَتَدَبُّرُهَا وَالدُّعَاءُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِهَا. Yani that it is incumbent, it is befitting of every single believer that they recite these ayat, and that they ponder and reflect upon these ayat, and that they supplicate to Allah the Most High with them. Yani Allah didn't place these ayat, He didn't place these supplications, He didn't mention these people in the Quran, except that we, the people who came after them, will know that these are descriptions, qualities, and characteristics that are pleasing to Allah. That Allah is pleased with them, and He's pleased with the way they called upon Him, so that we will learn these supplications, that we will understand their meanings, that we will memorize them, and that we ourselves will also call upon Him with these very same words. The Shaykh closes by saying, وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَانَ يَقْرَأُ هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ إِذَا قَامَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُوَ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. That it is confirmed, it is affirmed in the hadith, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite these ayat when he got up during the night while he was looking to the sky. This came in the Sahihain, that is Al-Bukhari and Muslim. On the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said, yani Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah, he said, Bittu inda khalati Maymuna, radiallahu anha, that I spent the night with my maternal aunt, yani my mother's sister, Maymuna, who was a wife of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anha. فَتَحَدَّثَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَا أَهْلِهِ سَاعَةً. So the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he spoke with his family, yani his wife, my aunt, for some time. ثُمَّ رَقَدَ. Then he laid down to rest. فَلَمَّا كَانَ ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْآخِرُ. So when it was the last third of the night, when it was the last third of the night, and the last third of the night, yani, is that time in which a person divided up the hours from Maghrib until Fajr. From Maghrib until Fajr. If there were 12 hours, for example, and you divided up them into three, it would be, yani, each third would be 4 hours. So the last 4 hours before Fajr would be the last third of the night. Or the last 3 hours or whatever, depending on how many hours, yani, in the different times of the year are between the Maghrib and Fajr prayer. He said, when it was the last third of the night, قَعَدَ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ sat up. He was laying down. He sat up. فَنَظَرَ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. And he looked up to the sky. فَقَالَ. And he said, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of the night and day, there are signs for the people who have understanding, the people of intellect. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the last third of the night, he sat up, he looked to the sky, and then he recited these ayat. Yani what is intended here is that this is the beginning of the ayat that he recited, and he recited to the end of Surah Ali Imran, to the 200th ayat as mentioned in another narration of the hadith. Here he says he recited this, and what is intended that he recited those ayats to the end of the surah. ثُمَّ قَامَ. Yani, he sat up, he looked to the sky, he recited these ayats, sitting. ثُمَّ قَامَ. Then he stood. فَتَوَضَّى. And he performed ablution. wastanna, and then he used miswak to brush his teeth. Fasalla ihda asharata raka'atan, and then he performed 11 raka'ah of prayer. Wa fi riwayatin, in one of the narrations of this hadith that's reported in Bukhari and Muslim, in one of the narrations it says, thumma qara'a al-ayat al-ashra al-awakhira min Ali Imran hatta khatama. Yani, here is the clarification of what he actually recited. He said, then he recited the final 10 ayats from Ali Imran until he completed them. And some of the scholars say what is intended by the final 10 ayats, even though they are actually 11 ayats, is that he's just rounding off the number to tens. But they are actually 11 ayat. So here in this narration it mentions that he recited the whole of those 11 ayat until the end of, until he completed, hatta khatama, until he completed or finished the surah. The Prophet ﷺ, in the last day of that, he sat up, and then he did what? Without looking at the book. He sat up in the last day of night and did what? He looked to the sky. And then he did what? And then he recited these ayat. And then he did what? Then he stood up. And then he made wudu. And then he brushed his teeth with siwak, with miswak. And then he prayed 11 rak'ah. Yani, this is a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that perhaps yani has been abandoned. And it is worthy of the people yani who are seeking nearness to Allah to follow the sunnah. Especially those things in the sunnah that yani have been abandoned to give life back to the practices of the Prophet ﷺ. And one of the great sunnah is that a person gets up in the night to pray. And this was the details, as it's mentioned, from somebody close to the Prophet ﷺ. Nobody can know about this except somebody in his household. Abdul ibn Abbas, he knew about it because the Prophet ﷺ's wife, one of his wives, was his mother's sister, Maymuna radiallahu anha. So he spent the night there and he saw these things and he narrated them to us. The Shaykh closes by saying, ثُمَّ إِنَّ فِي ذِكْرِ الرَّبِّ لِحَالِ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ وَتَعَبُّدِهِمْ وَكَمَالَ تَظَلُّلِهِمْ وَذِكْرِهِ لدعواتهم العظيمة وإجابته لهم حثا للعباد على التأسي بفعالهم وتحلي بخصالهم والدعاء بدعواتهم التي هي محل ثناء الرب وإجابته وبالله وحده التوفيق. The Shaykh says, finally, in closing, Allah, our Rabb, His mentioning of the condition of the ulul albab, mentioning their condition, and mentioning their ta'abbud, their worshipping of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mentioning the completeness and the perfection of their humbleness and humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His mentioning, yani Allah's mentioning, their magnificent supplications, and His responding to them, all of this is an encouragement for the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow the practice of those people and to adorn themselves with their qualities and characteristics and to supplicate with their supplications, which were the reason for the praise of their Rabb of them and the reason for His answering their supplications. And indeed, with Allah alone is success. Naam. If there's any correction of something that was said, or any comment or any question, inshallah we'll take the comments and questions after we dismiss, if there's something that somebody needs to say before we close. Otherwise we'll close with this, and then if there's any questions we'll take them after. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. So inshallah, whoever is not in a hurry, this is the last time that we're going to be having any refreshments after the class, because the next time we meet, inshallah, it will be Ramadan, we will not be eating after the class. So, yani, we'll be going home. We'll just break our fast after the class, and then, yani, there won't be any food, meals here in this masjid except for on Saturday and Sundays. So on Friday night, inshallah, we'll bring some dates and things, and then after we break our fast and pray, yani, and then everybody, yani, can return to wherever they're yani localities, wherever they came from. Naam. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allah khair.